I invite you, if you want to read along in your Bible, to Psalm 32. I think it's listed on the screen as well, and so you're invited to share that either way. But I read a kind of a humorous quote. My uncle sends me every week this list of points to ponder or something like that, and this one said, if liar, liar, pants on fire were true, then it would be a lot more enjoyable to watch the evening news. But I don't know if that's true or not, because it might come back to haunt me as well. If you're following along, the scripture is Psalm 32, and it says, blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of the summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. Just a few years ago, I was still helping lead the youth group. Now Rhonda is enjoying that privilege instead. But one of the favorite things always that would be asked at the end of a meeting, it seemed like, is, can we play sardines? And sardines is a kind of a hide-and-seek game. One person goes to hide, and of course, in the church building, there are so many hiding places. We say the elevator's off limits because we had somebody hide in there and they took the phone off the hook, you know, the emergency one that makes the 911 call, and then the police show up to see if everybody's okay. We don't do that place anymore, but still people, they hide, and then when you find someone, then you get in there with them, and pretty soon everybody's packed in that one little hiding place like sardines, and so the name is appropriate. Do you have a secret hiding place? Place where you feel safe and protected and hidden? I have a remembrance of a hiding place once long ago when I was in Boy Scouts. It's a vivid memory because of the place I chose to hide. I was at Boy Scout camp that summer and walking along the trail, and there were some people coming the other way, and for some crazy reason I thought it would be kind of fun to hide over in the bushes over there in the weeds beside the trail, and at that time I didn't know what nettles were. But now I do, because that wasn't the most comfortable hiding place I ever found, and somehow even some 50 years later, I still remember that hiding place I chose. The need for a hiding place is something we all experience, that security, that safety, that comforting place. And for some, home is that place. That place that you go after work or after your trial or your difficulty, and you say, it's sure good to be home. Or sometimes you go on vacation and then you get back home and it's like, oh, finally. But then for some, home is not a hiding place. It's a place of strife, place of fighting, a place where maybe nobody's home because mom and dad are working or they're busy doing other things. Business and community buildings such as fire stations and libraries are in our day designated as safe places, safe place sites. And so any youth in crisis can walk into one of those safe places and ask an employee for help, and those locations are marked by a yellow diamond-shaped safe place sign. And those safe places are supposed to be a hiding place, a place where you can get away from somebody who might do you harm or damage. We all kind of need a safe place. The church has been a safe place in many people's lives and in mine, but there have been occasions when the church I was involved with was not safe. There was strife and tension and difficulty, and I've discovered that even the places that you think might be the safest of all aren't always safe. And the psalmist discovered that as well, and so he said, "You are my hiding place." God is our hiding place. Where's your hiding place when you're guilty of great sin? And the psalmist is guilty of a great sin of some sort. Some say that this psalm goes along with Psalm 51. And Psalm 51 is the psalm that is kind of a psalm of confession. And David is crying out to God, asking to create in me a clean heart because of the sin that he had committed with Uriah the Hittite's wife, with Bathsheba. And some say maybe this psalm goes along with that one, but it's obvious that the psalmist David, for whatever reason, is crying out to God from a guilty heart. And he says, "Blessed is the one whose transgressions are covered, are forgiven. And blessed is he whose sin the Lord doesn't count against him." Where do you go when you've really blown it? When you're guilty of things that are blatant in your own life, when you've made a mess of things at home or in your life or your job, when you've been fired, when you said something you shouldn't have said, where do you go? And the psalmist is struggling with that heavy heart. He was struggling. And so where do you go when you have a heart full of guilt? Where do you go when you have failed to live up to your calling? When you failed to do what you said you would do? When you failed to be that Christian or that leader or that example? Our normal response when we've really blown it or when we've failed is to not say anything. Maybe nobody will notice. And often nobody notices, except the psalmist said, "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away." There is this heaviness, this heavy hand. And so he says, "For day and night, your hand was heavy on me." That guilt of a strength that's taken away because even if nobody else knows, I know, and it's weighing heavy on me. And so he says here in verse 5, "Then I acknowledged my sin. I will confess my sin to the Lord," says another translation. And so when you fail as a leader or a parent or a Christian or a church member, where do you go? When you feel like the biggest hypocrite in the world, where do you hide? Where do you hide when the waters are rising around you? Literal waters or figurative, the rising waters remind me of an experience when my children were young and we went camping in this State Park down in Kentucky, and we got there, and it was a beautiful day. We pitched our tent, which was the first mistake, because it always rained when our family went camping. We should have just counted on that in the first place. But we pitched our tent beside this nice little stream, and you could step across it. But then we went swimming. We came back and started to cook our evening meal, and then it started to rain, and then it started to rain harder, and then it started to rain harder. And pretty soon we all went into the tent and hoped it would stop, but it kept raining. And somewhere about 10 o'clock that night, we looked out, and that little creek that you could step across was up about knee deep. And we thought, our tent probably isn't in a very good place. And so we packed up and put it in the back of the station wagon, and we went home, and it was nice and dry there. Where do you go when the waters are rising? And I don't think David was so concerned about literal waters as the figurative waters, the disease, or the sickness, or the violence, or the turbulent times, the coronavirus, or the tensions, or the struggles, or the political elections, and all of those things that are going on in life. There are storms and things that are not my fault, they're not your fault, but they're affecting our lives in some way. Where do you run when things are threatening, when the waters are rising? Where do you go when the future seems uncertain? And the psalmist said, my bones were wasting away through my groaning when I kept silent. When God's hand was heavy on us, when our strength is sapped like the heat of the summer. Have you been out there working in the garden or in the yard and sweat's pouring on you and your shirt you could wring out and you just feel exhausted, that heat of the summer? And sometimes that in a almost literal way, you feel that way sometimes when life gets heavy. Where do you run? And the psalmist says, you are my hiding place. I believe the Rock of Ages is a wonderful place to run, a wonderful hiding place. Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Or a mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. And sometimes we think of those powerful, massive places as places of security, but the psalmist says, you are my hiding place. You are my rock. You are my fortress, my ever-present help in trouble. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my strength come from? And then he says, it's not the hills. My strength comes from the Lord who made the hills, the heavens and the earth. We can't see him with literal eyes, but we can sure go to him in prayer. We can sure go to him in real ways. And so in those times of rising waters, we need someone to give us some assurance. We need some sort of sense that it's going to be all right. We're going to get through this. And people keep saying, well, get through this together. But somehow, the longer it goes, the harder it is to keep people together. We are reacting, but when we need some assurance, there are those songs of deliverance. And so, he says, you're my hiding place. You'll protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. And you know, one of the blessings of a church family, and whether we gather in a place outdoors or indoors, one of the things that we miss most when we're separated is the songs of deliverance, the singing. And maybe you don't like to sing, maybe you're not good at that, but there's something about gathering together and singing together as a body of Christ that sort of gives you some assurance and some confidence or some peace. And those songs that say there's hope. Or there's strength when our strength is gone. Or songs that say there's a higher ground, and we put our faith and our hope in that higher ground, somehow the psalmist discovered, and he said, many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts him. In verse 8, he says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. And it's almost as if the King David that's praying and confessing and dealing with God can hear God's voice saying, I'll show you the way. I will instruct you. I will teach you. And so it's sort of as if he hears God's voice say, yeah, you've come to me. You've found your strength and your help and the songs of deliverance. And so I'll show you. I'll teach you the way you should go. Have you ever sensed God's direction? Or have you ever sensed that God said, nope, wrong way? Or the flat tire that kept you from getting there? Or the bad thing that happened that maybe kept a worse thing from happening? There are times that God can show us by His counsel and His wisdom. Sometimes through somebody else or through their wisdom as well. The Rock of Ages is a wonderful hiding place. Is the Lord where you run? Do you run to Him when you're afraid, when you're ashamed, when you're angry? Do you run to Him when the waters of life are rising or when you've made a big mess of things because of your sin or your hypocrisy? Well, how do we run to the Rock of Ages? How do we find Him as our hiding place? How do we do that in a tangible way or in a systematic way? I believe there are three keys here at least that teach us how to run to the Rock of Ages. The first is that of confession. And so the psalmist begins by confession. When I was silent, he said, I hid my sin, there was misery. And then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity there in verse 5. And things were better. The normal response when we've blown it is to hide, to run away. When I say something that's offensive to somebody else, my normal reaction is to avoid that person so that we don't have to face each other. But the best solution really is to go to them and say, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend you. I didn't mean to hurt you. And somehow that builds and strengthens the relationship. When we pull away and we hide ourselves, and there's just more and more separation. And when we do that with God, we act like maybe He won't notice, or maybe we feel so guilty or so unworthy that we're afraid to approach God. But it only isolates us if we stay away. Keeps us from the security and the strength we need. Sometimes, if you watch those funny home videos and you see that little kid with the chocolate all over his face, and the mom says, did you eat chocolate? And he says, no. And the mom knows because it's plain as the chocolate on his face. And sometimes I think we're like that with God. We say, no, I didn't move it. And meanwhile, He can see right through us. And that confession, that admitting, that going to God and saying, here I am, God, I've blown it again. My strength was weak. Yours is strong. Forgive me. That confession is so important. And the second thing that we see David doing here is he trusts in God and he believes in God, and so he prays. And there in verse 6, he says, therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Trust Him and go to Him and pray. Surely the rising of the waters will not reach them. And that implies a trust and a faith in the living God. And so confession, but then trusting that God forgives and He loves and He strengthens and He heals. And the third thing that we see here is just that outward expression. That turning our trust and our confession into songs. We trust enough that our fear becomes praise, and our worry becomes singing. And so he says, "You're my hiding place. You protect me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance." Somehow the songs of deliverance somehow strengthen our heart. The rejoicing in the Lord and being glad, and so Paul had discovered, you know, be thankful in all things and rejoice in the Lord always, and let your joy and your thanksgiving abound to God. And somehow as we learn to rest in Him and begin to sing or to praise or to share our blessings, somehow that sense of being in God's presence and forgiveness is there. Sometimes the acting out or the outward expression has to come even before the feelings of God's presence. And so singing and rejoicing and testifying, it implies a confidence, but it's also an obedient response. We do what God asks us to do, and then the feelings come later. Sometimes the guidance or the teaching us the way we should go comes after we have confessed and we believed. Well, there are all kinds of stories. I've been reading this week the story of Corrie Ten Boom and her book, The Hiding Place. And if you haven't read it, it's a story of their family's experience in World War II as the Germans overrun the country of the Netherlands and Holland, and they became part of that concentration camp. And Corrie Ten Boom's hiding place for the Jews initially in their home, where they hid them away from the Nazis as long as they could, but then the hiding place of God, and lots of times they show their faith in Christ, even in the face of great fear. Do you have a secret hiding place? This week I want to encourage you, when you find yourself afraid, or when you find yourself feeling guilty, or when you have that sense of failure or weakness, make it a point not to run away, but to run toward your hiding place. Be deliberate in your faith and hide yourself in that rock of ages who says, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden." He says that we can come and find forgiveness and wholeness and help. And so when we do, we find that help. When we run to Him instead of away from Him, there's strength and there's salvation. There are those songs of deliverance. There's a God who says, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go." Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. We'll sing that in just a moment. But that rock of ages who died on the cross and was crucified and buried and rose again so that we could have hope and we could have strength and encouragement. We can run to Him instead of away from Him. And so this week, the challenge or the goal or the thing to do most of all is to run to the place of hiding, our God and our Father. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for your strength. Thank you for being our hiding place. Thank you, Lord, that you teach us and you comfort us and you guide us. Lord, thank you for showing us again and again that as we confess and as we come to you and we acknowledge, somehow you relieve that burden and that pressure, and we can just be forgiven and loved and strengthened. God, as we go through a difficult time in our nation's history and in our own lives, Lord, help us to remember to be surrounded by songs of deliverance through the fellowship of a church family, or maybe a Christian radio station or other things as well. Thank you, Lord, for your songs of deliverance and the hope and the encouragement they give us as well. We love you, and we thank you, Lord, that we can run to you, that you are our hiding place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.